Kings chapter number 4. If you looked at the bulletin for this evening, we had us going back to where we were this morning. We will sort of skip over what we maybe had thought to do at first, which would be kind of take us back to our thought from this morning in order to springboard into our thought for tonight. But we'll trust that you have a good grasp and understanding and remembrance of what was preached this morning concerning the fullness of God. The fullness of God is found in Jesus Christ. He is God in every respect. There is nothing that God is that Christ is not. And as we survey our lives every single day, we find that we are a very needy people. No matter if we're talking about emotional, financial, we're talking about spiritual, physical, health-related, and many, many other things. We find ourselves in the throes of need every single day. They need to be supplied. And so it shows us how blessed we are to have a Savior and to have a God that is all-sufficient, that has all fullness. And each time we draw from that reservoir that God has put within Christ in order to make it through a day or through a moment, it does not diminish. It does not deplete. And so we find it there again every single day. And so we are thankful for that. And this morning we focused, after establishing, of course, that Christ is the fullness of God, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and all of those things, we focused upon the fullness of Christ in salvation. But as we understand our life, this is not the only way that the fullness of God in Christ impacts us. In fact, we need every day to be filled with that which Christ has for us. We need to be filled by God Almighty through Christ. In any situation or circumstance, it's always important for us to understand that we receive what we need from God. And this is something that I think we need to put into our memory banks, or we need to emphasize again in our lives, is that with God there is always more. There is always more to experience. There is always more to glean. There is always more to be had. There is always more blessing. There is always more of all that God is. We never reach the end of God. We never reach the end. It tells us in the book of Romans about, His ways are beyond our ways, and they're past our finding out. And so we find that there is always more with God. We don't think like that, I think, as much as we should, because we are only able to provide so much. Our children need something. We give them everything that we can, but we can only give them what God has supplied us for that moment. We can come to the end of ourselves, but with God there's always more. There's always more to be filled with. There's always more to receive. There's always more. And we need to be thinking about that more than we presently do, because we kind of forget that. We only experience a tiny portion of God, a tiny portion of His blessings, a tiny portion of His person, of His character, of His relationship, or the relationship we can have with Him. We only experience a little bit, and we're comfortable with that, because that's many times all that we commit to. But we need to be filled each and every day with the fullness of God. Even on a good day, we receive everything we need from the fullness that is Christ. And then on top of that, we understand that there are extraordinary needs that enter into our life from time to time. Here in 2 Kings chapter 4, we meet such a woman. And as with just about everything, or many things in the Old Testament, it uses a physical example to teach us a spiritual lesson that then is emphasized in the New Testament, as we saw this morning, with the fullness of God in Christ. And that is the case for this widow woman, as we find her here in 2 Kings chapter number 4, in verse number 1. Read with me. "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." We see and meet a woman here in the great hour of need in her life. To be sure, this had to be great and overwhelming for her. First of all, she had recently lost her husband. She had suffered the loss of her mate, of her companion. She had suffered the loss of that which she had closest to her in this life, taken from her. Death, of course, is something that we all have to deal with, something that we all have to face. And for those of us that are blessed with having a spouse, we understand that one day we will be in this woman's shoes. One or both of us will be in this woman's shoes. We will face the loss of a loved one. We will face the loss of a husband or a wife. And for this woman, it was devastating. Every day she needed to be filled and given that which God would supply. But today, the need was extraordinary. She was empty. She was in great emotional distress. She was in great emotional pain. She was in great straits of difficulty because her companion, her partner, her friend or lover was gone, never to return ever again. She was without the one that she had counted on for so many years. Shouldn't be too hard for us to imagine what this woman would be feeling. To put ourselves in her shoes, to think about the devastation of heart and the difficulty in her life. But we see here in verse number 1 that is not the total extent of what she's facing. We see that her situation goes from bad to worse. For if she had only lost her husband to death, that would be bad enough for her to overcome. But the death of her husband had ramifications through her life. Because as we see here in verse number 1, her husband had borrowed money. He had borrowed money, he had borrowed grain, he had borrowed feed, he had borrowed something from someone. And because he had died, the creditor, of course, looked upon the situation and realized that there was no hope of getting payments. There was no hope of getting the crop, perhaps, if he had borrowed seed at the end of the year. There was no hope of repayment whatsoever. So the creditor came to call the loan due. He came to the woman and he said, "Your husband owed me this much money. Let me look around and see what you have that would be equivalent. Let me see what is here that I could take and that I could say would satisfy what your husband had borrowed from me so that we could be even, so we could be square, the debt could be paid." As he looked around and took inventory of what the woman owned, of her house, of her household items, of her possessions and the other things that were scattered round about, the only value that he saw was in her two sons. This man, this creditor, by power of the law, had the ability to legally take her sons as payment for the debt that her husband had incurred. This means that she would lose her husband to death, of course, never again to be with him, never again to share that love and passion and desire for life, never again to have her partner and protector. But on top of this, now she was in danger of losing her two sons. They would become bondmen, meaning that this man would take them as payment and then employ them in his own service, or he would turn around and he would sell them to someone else and gain profit from them. Either way, he saw in them that which would make her even, or that which would take away the debt. As the creditor came to evaluate the situation, and this began to sink in upon the woman, of course, her devastation sunk to a new level. She was empty. She was distraught. She was in a great difficulty. And we see here in verse number 1 that she turns to the man of God. And really, any time in the Old Testament you see a person turning unto the man of God, unto the priest of God, under the high priest, under the prophets, really what they are doing is seeking God through them, for that was what they were to do. This Elisha, of course, as we see him here, he was the man of God. Her husband was in the school of the prophets, which had started under Elijah and then was continuing under Elisha. Her husband was a godly man. A man that was learning, a man that was growing, a man that desired to be in the ministry like Elisha had been. And so she calls upon her God through Elisha, asking God, pleading with God about the situation. And we see as she cries out to God, and as we move forward in her story, we need to understand that her need was very real. Again, we said that we have needs every single day that the fullness of God in Christ does supply. But this woman wasn't just in need of daily bread. There would be that need, of course, in time to come. She wasn't just in need of comfort and help. That need was present too, but it was on the back burner right now. Because the extraordinary need in her life was that she could not fathom the loss of her sons on top of the loss of her husband that had already occurred. She throws herself on the mercies and provisions of God in His fullness. Verse 1, "Now there cried a woman, a certain woman, the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha." The word "cried" here isn't that she was in tears so much so that she couldn't speak, but she cried as in she threw herself upon the mercies of, sought for the direction and the working of Almighty God through the prophet Elijah. She knew who to go to, who she could turn to. She knew how to find help and remedy in this situation. She also knew that there was no way that she could possibly meet this need. She knew in looking around and seeing the evaluation of the creditor that there was no way that anything she had or anything that she hoped to gain in the near future could possibly equal what her two sons were worth to that man. She had came to the end of herself. She didn't know what to do. She had no idea how to meet this need. But she knew the one that did. Of course, there is a fullness in God. And that fullness could meet this need. But how would it be done? We see beginning in verse number 2, that through Elisha, God begins to direct this woman. And He begins to meet her need one step at a time. And in the end, we're going to find that God pours out this woman a blessing and fills her up. Fills her up and takes care of that which she stood in need of. And that is a wonderful thing to see. We notice here in verse number 2, after turning to Elijah and ultimately to the Lord, that she's to make an examination of her house. And Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil." You see, she had already been through this inventory with the creditor. She already knew that there was nothing here that would meet the need. But Elisha makes her look again. He says, "Look again. Tell me what you have in the house. What is here? What do you have on hand?" She looks around and she sees the same thing the creditor saw. "We got nothing. There is nothing in this house." She saw nothing that was useful, nothing that was valuable. Even in the way at the end of verse number 2 that she says, "Save a pot of oil." It's almost as if she throws that in without any thought that that could be the answer to a problem. She esteemed it very lightly. For this pot of oil, how could it possibly provide enough money to satisfy the creditor? How could it possibly save the lives of her sons? And seeing it through her eyes, it was not enough to meet the present need. Many times, we see things through our eyes in the same fashion, don't we? We don't see them through the fullness of God in Christ. We don't see them through the one that has all things in His control, all things in His power, and can do with them as He pleases. We see them in our own mind and our own eyes. We need to be emptied of that tonight. Empty yourself of that sight. Empty yourself of that thought and see that so many times God works with what we already have on hand. He works through what we have already on hand many times, and that is an amazing thing. So as she looks around, she says, "All I have is this pot of oil. And then beginning in verse number 3, Elisha begins to give her some directions about the soil and what she is to do with it, how she is to go about the remedy to this situation. We read here in verse number 3. Then he said, "Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow, not a few." Here in verse number 3, we find three important things that Elisha told her to do. Three important things. Before we get to those three important things, I want you to understand that Elisha did not tell her immediately how this was going to benefit her. He did not say that he was going to use that oil that she had just brought to his attention to miraculously save her two sons. As he begins in verse number 3 to talk about vessels, this oil could not even have been upon her mind. Not even a thought of it could have entered into her mind that this oil was going to be used. And so three things here in verse number 3 that were important. First of all, he tells her to go and borrow vessels abroad of all the neighbors. And this, of course, was an action that promoted humility. Just think of this woman. She'd go and she'd knock on her neighbor's door. She'd say to her neighbor, "I need to borrow a vessel. I need you to borrow me a pot. Anything that'll hold something, I need you to borrow it to me." Neighbor says, "Oh yeah, well why is that? Why do you need to borrow a pot? Why do you need to borrow a vessel?" Says, "I don't know, Elisha just told me to do it." And so in humility she needed to go. Maybe she would say to the next neighbor as she knocked on the door again, and the neighbor said, "Oh yeah, I've got a few pots out back. What do you need them for?" Maybe she then would say, "The creditors are come to take my son. And she maybe couldn't even explain fully exactly what was going on. But she had to go sort of hat in hand to her neighbors and say, I need your vessel." She really didn't know all that God would do in His fullness. She really didn't understand even at this point what these vessels would be for as Elisha instructed her to go and get them. And so she was instructed to go to her neighbors and to borrow vessels. We see the second direction here in verse number 3 is that she was to borrow not a few. To borrow not a few. In other words, in Elisha's direction to her here, he needed her to understand that she was to gather as many vessels as she could possibly get in this time frame. How long she had, we don't know. There was obviously a time frame. And so she was to go and she was to borrow the vessels. She'd knock on the door, say, "I need to borrow a pot." Neighbor bring a pot to the door, and she'd say, "Thank you, do you have another one?" "Well, what do you need more than one pot for? Don't you have some at home?" And again, the conversation would go on. And so word began to spread, and what God was doing here, of course, perhaps would, and eventually would become known, of course, in its totality. But you see, as she knocked on these doors, as she got the vessels from the neighbor, she didn't just impose on them for the smallest one there, but she said, "Oh, what about that? Now I know that you've got a big pot out back. Let me have that one too." And so she was to beg and she was to borrow. She was to plead. She was to throw herself on the mercy of her neighbors to gather as many pots as she could. Little did she know at this time what impact it would have upon her as far as the number of vessels that she would accumulate during this time. But she still could not have yet fathomed that she was going to fill all of these pots with something. Fill all of these pots with something. And so that is a lesson to us here today. Many times the fullness of God being poured out unto us in our lives doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It doesn't really add up why we should be going about things as we are, or as God directs. But we understand that He, or it has pleased Him, that in Christ should all fullness dwell. And that fullness is poured out a little at a time to us. We had better be ready to receive it. This woman had to be ready to receive it. She needed the vessels. And she needed not just one or two. I mean, if Elisha had told her, just go to your neighbor and borrow a pot, she would have brought back one. And there's a reason for this also. That at this point, she didn't understand fully what it was. Because if he had told her that you're going to pour out your oil into these vessels, guess how many she would have went and got? How many would you have went and got? We'll just use the example of oil. All of you tonight have vegetable oil at home. Canola oil, peanut oil, some kind of oil. Cook with and do stuff with. If we were to tell you to go get a pot tonight, to borrow a pot, and you're going to fill it with the oil at home, you'd get one or two. How much ever it took to, because you would rationalize and figure it out. Say, okay, this vessel's small, this one's a little bit, that'll be enough. But see, Elisha didn't tell her that, did he, right away? He said, go and get the pots. Go and get as many vessels as you can from your neighbors. But then also, in verse 3, the third instruction here is that he qualifies the state of the vessels that she was to get. They were to be empty vessels. It would do her no good if she went and she asked of the neighbors vessels that already had things in them. It would do her no good if she brought back 100 vessels that were filled with flour and cake or oil already or water or whatever else. She needed empty vessels. And that really, if you want to highlight or underline or mark, those two words or three words really give us great insight into this passage. Even empty vessels. Now, we don't like to think of ourselves as empty vessels, but that's exactly what we need to be if we are to receive that filling from the Lord. We are often too full of things in order to be filled from the Lord. We'll talk about that more in a minute. In order to be filled with the fullness of God here in this time, she needed empty pots. She needed empty pots. If she was to go and borrow them, if a neighbor brought her a vessel and it had something in it, she'd have to say, no, that won't do. Could you dump that out for me? Do you see how much work she needed to do here? How much of herself she had to invest in this process to go and get these empty vessels, to go and ask her neighbors, not just for one or for two, but every vessel that they had. And we'll see in a minute that's exactly what she did. Now in verse number 4, he begins to tell her what she is going to do with those vessels. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. We see in verse number 4 here, that after she gathered these empty vessels, that she was to come into her home and she was to shut the door. She was to close herself in from the outside world, gather herself with her sons. And God was going to pour out a blessing unto her. All of this, these instructions, all of this gathering, all of this that she was to do symbolizes the work that we are to put into our preparation in order to receive that filling that we need from the Lord. We must empty ourselves of the world. We must empty ourselves of sin. We must empty ourselves of our own thoughts, of our own desires, of our own figuring things out, and throw ourselves completely at the mercy of Almighty God to fill. If we are to have anything in this life, if we are to have, as she is seeking here, a remedy to our difficult situations. She had to stop figuring it out and just trust the Lord. As she gathered them, she had to wonder what was going to be put in them. You know, it made me think about during the week, as we prepare ourselves for coming into the house of the Lord, receiving through song and through prayer and through preaching of the Spirit of the Lord, how we needed to be constantly emptying ourselves of the garbage that is in. Constantly emptying ourselves of the worldliness, of the sin. And as we did so, as we emptied all of those things, or as we gathered our empty vessels, if you want to look at it that way, wondering, well, what's God going to fill it with? What's He going to pour out to me this week? What's He going to pour out to me this day as I read my Bible, or as I pray, as I seek Him, as I have devotion, as I meditate? What is He going to pour out to me? But how often do we go through days without emptying our vessels? Or with, if we use the mentality most of the time that we have, we would look at things and we'd only gather a vessel or two. It's kind of how we approach Sunday. We gather a vessel or two and we say, well, if the Lord fills just this one, I'll be happy. No, let us gather all the vessels that we can. Let us empty them all and let us prepare for a blessing. Because as we'll see in a minute, the limit of this blessing, the limit of it was as many pots as she could get, as many vessels as she could accumulate. As she gathered these things, no doubt those questions had to be upon her mind. She was told to go into her house, to gather herself with her sons, and there's a picture and a lesson there too. But notice here in verse number 5, this is why I believe she gathered everything first before she told, or he told her what she was to do. Because notice in verse number 5, it just says, so she went from him and shut the door. So that tells me that after he told her, go and gather everything you can, she went and did it. And then after she had gathered everything she could, then she came back, and then he gave her the instructions of verse 4. So again, she didn't have any idea maybe what they were about, what it was for, in all of this time that she was to gather. So in verse number 5, it says, so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. She took the oil that she had in the pot, and she began to pour it into these vessels. We can see that even though she may have had questions in her mind, she gathered. She threw herself on the... She didn't care what the neighbors thought about her. She didn't care what the rumors around the neighborhood were about, what her friends were saying about her. She didn't care how desperate she looked. She didn't care what other people thought. None of that entered into her mind. She gathered the vessels, the empty vessels. We see that she began to pour out the oil. Again, these empty vessels representing herself. She'd been emptied of her own ambitions, her own works. Her relying upon herself to fix the problem was ready to be filled from the Lord, because she knew that she couldn't solve the problem herself. She knew it. She was ready to be filled. God has a fullness that we cannot even begin to fathom. God has a fullness that He desires to pour out into His people and to fill them that we can't even begin to understand. Ready. Ready at all moments to fill the vessels that we gather. To fill the vessels that we clean. To fill the vessels that we prepare. To be filled with the glory of God in Jesus Christ in our life. The problem many times is that we're so full of ourselves, our pride, our sin, our works, our attitude, that we simply cannot be filled. Cannot be. Because of those things. As we said, emptying ourselves is something we need to do, and it is a constant activity. It is something that we do on not just a daily basis. But if you really want the filling of God in your life, and the relationship with Him that we can have, and Him pouring out a blessing, pouring out of His fullness, we need to constantly be emptying ourselves of that which is within. Of the pride and of the sin, of the arrogance, of the works, of the attitude, of all that accumulates just by walking through this world, if we're to be filled with His Word, His Spirit, and His worship, we need to be constantly emptying ourselves in this way. How many of us thought about that tonight before we came into His house? Sometimes we leave, we say we didn't receive a blessing. Well, did we empty our vessel? Did we pray, God, empty me of the vain thoughts, empty me of the vain images, empty me of the countless things that I have filled my vessel up with that really aren't important. Empty me. And then fill me. Fill me with Your love. Fill me with Your wisdom. Fill me with Your knowledge. Fill me with Your Word. Fill me with Your fullness. We all have an idea of how much that is. But remember, with God, there's always more. And we're about to get a demonstration of that here in verse number 6. Because in verse 5 it says, and she poured out. She took the contents of her pot and she poured it out into the first vessel. And you know what? There was still more oil left to pour. We see verse 6, and it came to pass when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. She worked her way through all the vessels that she had gathered, her sons bringing her more. As she would fill one would take it away, another would bring another vessel to her so that she could pour it in. I'm sure some vessels were small, some were big, all shapes and sizes. But as she began to pour, that oil stayed. That oil remained. And she began to pour, she could empty or fill a vessel and then bring another empty vessel and fill it, and fill it, and fill it, so on and so forth. There was only so much that she expected the oil to do. But with God, there's always more. There's always more blessing. There's always more provision. There's always more love, compassion, forgiveness. There is always more grace and mercy. There is always more instruction, always more teaching, always more learning and growing, always more drawing close unto the Lord. What a glorious scene here. This is why they needed to be empty, because God was going to pour out a blessing to her and to fill her up. To fill her up. We notice at the end of verse number 6, she said to her son, bring me yet a vessel. He said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. I believe that even at the end, the original pot she had been poured out and poured out and poured out. And that original pot was still full with the same amount of oil she had. Because she was ready to pour it out again, wasn't she? She was ready to empty it into another vessel, but you know what? There wasn't another one to be found. Don't like to entertain the if game too often, because most of the time it's not profitable. But if she had gathered another pot, you know what? She could have poured more oil into it, and there'd have been more oil in her pot. If she had gathered 5 more vessels, there would have been oil enough for 5 more vessels, and still the original would have been full. The only limitation here was how many vessels she could gather. She was told to shut the door, so there would have definitely been a limitation of how many could fit in her house. Maybe there was a time frame too, because the creditor was coming back. Maybe there was a time limit to this, or whatever. Maybe she exhausted all the vessels in the village or in her neighborhood that she could find. Either way, God poured out unto this woman, and there was still more to be poured out. You'll never reach the end of what God has to pour out in your life. I don't care what the situation is. I don't care how far you travel. I don't care what your life brings to you. There is always more that God has in store, always more that God has reserved in that reservoir of Christ to pour out unto us. There is always more with God, more than our present need, more than our desires, more than we could ever even begin to imagine. We will spend eternity discovering the more of God and never come to the end of it. He pours out, fills His people. We notice here in verse number 7, because some of you might be thinking tonight that maybe haven't given it thought or studied this, maybe some younger ones that think about oil today. Because I compared it to, or I mentioned vegetable oil, whatever, and you're thinking, well, what's this woman going to do with 100 vessels of vegetable oil? Well, you got to understand that oil in this day was a commodity. It was very precious and valuable. Though she had just a little bit, which wouldn't have given her what she needed, now she had a lot. And we see in verse 7, then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil, pay the debt, and live, and thy children of the rest. This was her provision. She was instructed to go and sell the oil and pay the creditor. But look at this. I mean, she came crying to the man of God and to God saying, they're going to take my boys away. Help me. God did that. God provided her with enough resource to sell the oil, to pay the creditor, so she could have her sons. But then notice, what else does it say in verse 7? God didn't stop there, did he? He gave her more. More than she asked for. More than the need that she presented to him, because it says there in verse 7, and live thou and thy children of the rest. So there was more. There was an abundance above that which was required to pay the creditor. See, God always has more. And I can just imagine every time that she then, once she had liquidated all of the oil into whatever, you know, money or grain, whatever it was that was traded in that time and in her place, probably money. Every time she went to pay a bill or every time she went to buy food, smile on her face. God provided this. Every time she looked at her sons from that day forward, she saw the fullness of God. She saw that God had poured out to her a blessing. God had poured out to her a miraculous, miraculous thing, and had given to her exactly what she stood in need of. But it required great emptiness. This story cannot be told without the emptiness coming to the forefront. Let us meditate on that. There had to be a great emptiness here for this to happen. There had to be a great work done by this woman. God bless his work. God bless his work. She didn't just wake up to find 100 vessels of oil. But she had to do the work, didn't she? She had to be willing to go door to door, house to house, beg for those pots and vessels. Get them, bring them back. She even had to then take the oil and pour it out. Why does God require work? James tells us that it's because or by our work that our faith is proven, isn't it? This woman proved that she had great faith. Because she started to pour out that oil. She didn't doubt. What a wonderful thing. If she had gathered full pots, of course, the story would be much different. If she'd only gathered a couple, the story would be different. Let us take away from that we need to empty ourselves in order to be filled with the things of God. Let us take away from this that there is always more that God has in store for His people. Let us live in the light of the more that God has for us, and desire to see more of God. And let us be willing to do the work as God prescribes it to be done, whatever it is, no matter what He asks. Sometimes that work is surgery. You know, God says, that's how I'm going to provide. That's how I'm going to say. That's how I'm going to work. There's a work to be done. You have to go through that. You have to take your children or child through that. If it's them, you have to do. Sometimes it's not that. Sometimes it's take medicine. Sometimes, here's the second job to go on top of your first job so that you can pay the bills. There's always more with God. Let us live in light of that. Let us not be satisfied with just a little bit to squeeze a thimble full in amongst the rest of our life. But let us empty ourselves to be filled. God will pour us out a blessing. And let us see that from this passage and from this woman. Let us rejoice tonight in the fullness of God. Let's stand and let's go to my musicians to come. Conclude with a verse of song here tonight. Oh, what a glory it is to have a God that is full. To have a Savior. To have a Savior that is the fullness of the Godhead bodily.